What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. It's Louis DiBiase joining you here on this Victory Monday edition of the show alongside my partner in crime, the co-host, Mr. Gino Camilleri. What's going on, dude?
Not much. Just fun to be in first place in the NFC East.
How much better is a Monday when the Eagles win?
It's great because I can strap on one of the about 10 Eagles hoodies I have and not have to worry about an outfit choice. But no, it's right. A good feeling. It's
Were you rocking Eagles attire today?
Oh yeah, I had on the official pullover quarter zip. Nice little windbreaker. It was sweet. But yes, sir. Yeah, it's good, especially when it's a scrappy win and your emotions were flying all game, and
all
it's good to.
Place.
It would be nice to look back with the All-22, but it was cool to look through that condensed version of the game real quick.
I think me and you both were kind of just waiting for the All-22 to come out, and I always forget. I think it's on a Tuesday, so we should get it tomorrow, Gino, because I'm excited. I want to watch some secondary. I know people that listen to the show know I'm big into the corners. I got to get my Sidney Jones fix, my Jalen Mills. I want to watch some more Wentz stuff, just how he was seeing the field. So we got to get our coaches film in.
Yeah, definitely, and I think a good segue off of that is that I am enrolled in the Scouting Academy. I don't think I've told our listeners yet. I know a lot of the Eagles Twitter members, such as Michael Kiss, Benjamin Solek, are alumni of the Scouting Academy, so I'm hopping into it. I'm in week two. We're just learning about wide receivers, so hopefully I can get into the film on them and start working on that, and I think it'll be good content going forward for our listeners of the Locked On Eagles podcast and people who visit our website, because I want to get into writing a lot more about the X's and O's and really provide some good insight for everybody.
No, absolutely. I think it's huge that you're part of the Scouting Academy, and you know, X's and O's is a big part because you know, not everyone, that's an aspect that not, I mean, unless you played football for, you know, your entire life, there's a lot of stuff into the game and the game planning. You're just like, wow, I didn't realize that this stuff factored in. And I think, you know, that's a big part too, how you can translate the numbers and the stats. Is it, well, if you watch the film and you know about it, then it really helps you kind of take that and make a conclusion based on the numbers you're also given, because I think stats are a little bit too relied upon. Whereas even for me, I only played football for a couple years, but watching the film and just getting a basic sense of how things went down, just from that coach's film view, it really gives you a good perspective. So that's awesome. Yeah, again, Gino's part of the Scouting Academy, which some, you know, a lot of people have been doing that are impressive and have done some great things in football media. So we're excited that Gino is a part of that. Coming up on today's show, we're going to get into some injury updates with the big names, Jay Ajayi, Alshon Jeffery, Darren Sproles. You know, those guys, I think all of them are going to play this week, so we'll get into that. Some stock up, stock down. Who were some players that shined in yesterday's victory against the Colts? Who did not? And then a little tribute to Tommy McDonald to end the show, as he passed away today. RIP to an Eagles legend who, again, we'll get into later on in the show. So not some great news on Victory Monday. But again, Gino, though, a great Eagles Monday. And I just remember growing up where when the Eagles lost, it was probably a little bit too emotional to me, but never wore anything Eagles on Monday. It was kind of, I just wore black like a funeral. I just was miserable the entire time. But then when they won, it made the week so much better, because Mondays suck, you know, as they are. And having an Eagles win, though, to look back, I loved every morning tuning into like WIP and watching the highlights over and over again and repping the Eagles gear after a big win. And so it always makes it fun. I feel like I'm still a kid because I literally do the same things. Like I'm wearing the Carson Wentz AO1 charity softball jersey right now. And
oh, very nice.
Yeah, it makes I had to get one. I'm such a fanboy for Wentz. So I think this is really the first time I've been like fanboy over a guy since the days of, you know, DeSean Jackson and Michael Vick. I haven't been this. I mean, with the Eagles, it's just like I love the team so much that players come and go. But with Wentz, he's such a fan favorite of mine and pretty much everybody's. Like, I've never seen a fan base like this in Philadelphia, which is, you know, sometimes overdramatically known for being aggressive and tough. How they've embraced Carson Wentz. Like, just seeing all the reactions and the joy from what Wentz even did yesterday, which he had a great game. Still, he turned the football over a couple times, but it seems like for the first time in Eagles history, fans will die on a hill making an excuse for a player.
Yeah, and I think it's great because Donovan was, everybody had a love-hate relationship with him, which was kind of crazy for as great of a player as he was. I know
everybody's,
he never won the Super Bowl.
Everybody's still critical of Donovan. Even though he retired his number, they're still critical.
Always, and they'll be until the franchise folds and probably still after that. But right. Yeah, it's it's great to see the city embrace him, and I'm on the same wavelength as you that I'm a fanboy. My dog's name is Carson for a reason. He has the ginger golden hair, and
that's awesome.
It kind of matches him well. But yeah, it's like, I think it's great that yesterday we sat there, and even though we were down, I kind of never wavered at the fact that we were going to lose that game because we had Carson. With Nick, it was a little different, right? And with past quarterbacks, i.e. Sam Bradford and the whole gamut of other guys that went through the doors, it was, yeah, they're down, okay, we're going to lose. Now it's with Carson, the game's not over until that clock hits zero. And you saw that yesterday, that they were down, they led an 11-minute drive to score with 3 minutes left in the game, which is something that I haven't seen in years of that team do. I mean, we went through 3 years of Chip Kelly where their average time of possession was maybe three, four minutes at the most for every drive. But now it's, they're just really starting to become a team, and they're not making dumb decisions anymore. And
yep.
Carson and Doug have that connection. They know what they have to do on Sundays. They game plan really well. I think a good quote today from Doug in his presser was that he scripted the first play of the game, and then he just started calling plays based on what Carson liked after that. And there was a lot of talk about people saying that they scripted a lot of the first plays, but that's not the case. And they just have that connection to where they know what each one wants to call. And it's a reason they drafted him and traded up for him. They know how special he is. And it's really a great feeling to have a guy back there for, I know people hate the term, 10 to 15 years, but that's really what it is at this point.
Yeah, no, it is. And I thought another awesome part of Wentz's game yesterday was, so in 2016, again, we talked about this yesterday, and you wrote an awesome piece about it on LockedOnEagles.com, so go check that out, my shameless plug for the day. But Gino wrote a story about how the 2016 team just, you know, every game, I felt like we were the Chargers, where we had an opportunity at the end to take the game, and we just couldn't get it done. And Carson Wentz, he had positions, he had opportunities to take over and be that guy, and he really fell short, it seems like, every time, outside of maybe the Baltimore game, even though they lost that. He did score late in the game. But and then in 2017, he did do it against the Giants. We saw it there, and we saw it against, I mean, the Chargers drive, it was really the run game. But that's why I thought it was awesome to see again yesterday Wentz, when the Eagles needed a score, being like, all right, and they just drove down the field. I know Smallwood was big, Corey Clement, the offensive line, but seeing Wentz make those plays, like, again, the play of the game to me was when he stepped up in that muddy pocket, hit Nelson Aguilar on that 3rd and 9 and converted it. Seeing him in his first game back go down and complete a drive that 2 years ago he wouldn't have made, and even last year, he didn't really have an opportunity to do it a whole lot, you know, because they were killing every team that they played throughout the regular season before he got hurt. So, you know, he did put them in a position against the Rams last year before he got hurt, but it was only a couple times even last year, so I thought it was awesome to see his late-game heroics once again, because that's something that a quarterback has to have, because there's going to be games like that, the nail-biters, where you're not always going to be playing with the lead. It's not every time where the defense gets to make a goal-line stand. Some of the time, the offense going to have to go down and put points on the board and get the lead back.
I think you said it perfectly, and two things off of that, based on the piece that I wrote. I want to go back and look at those games and see how far into Eagles territory those teams have gotten, because they've made some incredible stands. I mean, you saw it yesterday. They were at the 11-yard line with a chance to win the game. They had four downs. We saw it in the two Atlanta games. I really want to see just how much of a testament it is to that defense, how much they've improved to not only make stops in the last drive, but how much of a dangerous situation it was to make those stops, you know? And then on the other side of that, I'd like to see the average starting position of these game-winning drives that Carson has led, because how many times, thinking back prior to Carson Wentz, did they have a chance to win the game and you knew the entire time that they might advance it 40, 50 yards, get within 20 yards to maybe kick a field goal, but you were never confident that they could score a touchdown?
Right, because touchdowns is a big part.
Yeah, because I know from my understanding and just thinking back, when Sam Bradford was in there, when Michael Vick was in there, even towards the end of Donovan, I was like, these guys don't have it. They just don't have the it factor to do that.
And the takeover mentality, really.
The takeover, yeah, exactly. And you see it in the greats with Tom and Big Ben, and you saw it with Peyton, that when they had 2 minutes left, even if they didn't have timeouts, I forgot to mention Aaron Rodgers, have to throw his name in there, of course, but you just knew that they were going to go down, march down the field, and win the game. I know they had 15 minutes yesterday, but still, to take off that much time off the clock is pivotal. And that's what good teams do. I keep harping on this idea of what good and great teams do, and you're just seeing it evolve more and more and just take shape more and more to this team becoming one of the great teams in Eagles franchise history and hopefully one of the best dynasties we've seen in NFL history.
Well said. And, you know, hopefully to continue that dynasty and be one of the best eras in Eagles history, which really they already are since they got the ring, we got to have our guys healthy. And this is what we're getting into next with the injury updates of Jay Ajayi, Alshon Jeffery, and Darren Sproles. These are three really big parts of the offense. And Jay Ajayi is the lead running back, already has three touchdowns on the year. When he's played, he's been good. The problem with Jay Ajayi has always been availability. You know, when he's playing, he's one of the more efficient running backs in the NFL. Looks like he's going to be back, according to Doug Peterson, this week, barring any setbacks. Same with Darren Sproles, which is big for the punt return game, too, because Corey Clement fumbled three times last game. So, you know, getting Sproles back there for punt returns is big as well. So it looks like we're going to be with our running back core at full health next week with Jay Ajayi and Darren Sproles. As for Alshon Jeffery, he has not yet been cleared for contact, but he was close that last week. He's practicing with the team. I think at the end of the week, Gino, we're going to see Alshon get cleared for contact. I think he plays this week against the Titans, and I think the offense is officially back, and I think this is the game where they really take over and they take off.
When in history have you seen the Eagles add three Pro Bowlers in a single week? Think about that.
That's true.
Alshon is the guy I want to see back. I've had the biggest man crush on Alshon for years, and I remember one of my good friends sent me a tweet around the 2016 trade deadline when they were rumored to get Torrey Smith and there was a chance that they could have got Alshon, and I'm like, from that moment on, I want Alshon on the Eagles. And the fact that I spoke it into existence, I'd like to take credit for it, that they ended up signing him in the upcoming offseason was great. But yeah, you miss the element that he brings. You miss his number one wide receiver ability just to battle on the ball for Wentz to just go and throw it up there. I know Nelson is good in his own right to get open. He's shifty. But in contested balls, Alshon is the guy you want on the field. I know Zach and Dallas Goedert can do it, but from the outside, the X and Z receiver positions, like, who is doing that outside?
Right, like
of
doing
Alshon
it down
Jeffery
on the sidelines. Like, correct. Where it's just one on one. And, you know, he's going to open up a lot, too, for Aguilar and for Ertz and Dallas Goedert, because the Colts are really honing in on, I mean, Ertz and Goedert got theirs, but with Aguilar especially, it really seemed like they were going after it and making a priority to not let him get going. So Alshon's going to be a huge boost to that as well. It's going up against a Titans team that's dealing with a lot of injuries, so the fact that you're going to add these three weapons back for Carson Wentz, who played really well yesterday with just really Aguilar and the two tight ends, and you know what, I shouldn't say, I mean, Smallwood and Clement, they had a really nice game at the running back positions, but again, like you said, these are three Pro Bowl players that you're just throwing in on the team to go with Carson Wentz. It really looks like the whole gang's going to get back together this week. So some really exciting stuff on that front. I think, Gino, do you think Alshon's playing this week? Because I think he's ready.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't list him out last game was kind of shocking. And that,
yeah,
I think he was closer to playing than a lot of people expect. I think if he was cleared for contact, I think he was going to be on the field. But you know how the medical team is. We saw that with Carson Wentz. He still has to get cleared. I think he gets cleared later in the week, say Thursday, Friday. He's going to get in the starting lineup. But I think the bigger thing here is that you're going to have now I don't know what they do at running back, if they keep all five of them in healthy scratch, Josh Adams maybe, but you're going to have four healthy running backs and that you can cycle in and out. And who knows how much this back injury is going to hinder Jay Ajayi, but the fact that you can cycle in more backs and keep them fresh like Duke Staley loves to do is huge, especially because Alshon is going to be a little rusty. Your receiving core is going to be a little rusty, that you can lean on this running game that Tennessee has struggled with to actually go in there and take over and cement this game in your favor. And I'm just very, 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 very excited to see that whole band back together with Carson under center. Something that I wish we saw in the Super Bowl, but now we're going to be able to see it. We get to see Sproles and him together for the first time in a long time. I'm just thinking back to that Steelers game 2 years ago when they had that magical play. He can just feed Ajayi the ball, get through, make bursts through the middle, and then hit Elshon down the sideline. Just, I'm excited. And people are sleeping on the Eagles once again, and it's time for that wake-up call. And I think these guys are going to come in. They're going to kick the door down, and they're going to make a hell of a first impression.
I hope so. And look, if J.J.'s injury lasts throughout the season, though, I'm still very confident in this running back group. Corey Clement was making plays yesterday. Wendell Smallwood, the king of week three. I don't know if you noticed this, Gino, but his rookie year against Pittsburgh, he had a good game week three. Against the Chargers last year, week three. Or no, last year was week three against the Giants. He had a pretty good game against the Giants.
Correct.
And then he takes over against the Colts. Wendell Smallwood, king of week three. And then Josh Adams, too, like you said. He had an impressive game yesterday, averaging 5 yards a pop. So even if Ajayi's injury is, I mean, it's not going to bode well for his contract status next year as he's a free agent. But for the Eagles, you get Sproles back as well and Clement. I hope with the Sproles coming back factor that Corey Clement's role isn't diminished as much, because I don't know, there's plays where he gets up through that second level, there's holes he's finding that he's getting through. He just knows how to play the running back position. So I hope that Darren Sproles coming back isn't too much of a factor in reducing Corey Clement's role. Hey, look, before we get into Stock Up, Stock Down coming up next, I want to talk to you guys about MyBookie. Remember, guys, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with, and that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, they have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I'd only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way over to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, the fantasy gurus, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer and visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. All right, guys, welcome back to the show now. Gino Camilleri alongside myself, Louis DiBiase. Let's get into some Stock Up and Stock Down now, Gino. And this is a segment we have done throughout the summer and into the regular season. Who shined and who did not against the Colts? It was an up-and-down game for some, but we're going to both go two stock ups and two stock downs. Gino, we'll start with you. Who was someone that really impressed you yesterday? You know, Carson Wentz is probably the big one, but we both left him off the list just because I think it's very obvious that how good of a game he had. So who else, though, on this Eagles roster really contributed big time for the Eagles against the Colts yesterday?
I may be a little bit biased because I broke the report of him signing back with the Eagles, and he is from Buffalo, but Corey Graham, I want to get in there and watch the All-22 on him, but he had a heck of a game, and I'll get into this in a little bit on our stock down, but his snaps were impressive. He took 80% of the snaps. That was 47 snaps in total. But he had some good plays. You saw the couple pass breakups he had. I like him. He's a physical safety. I enjoy seeing him out there, and I think this is his best game yet so far. And if Rodney McLeod is out for any extended period of time, I'm confident that Corey could just step right in.
Yeah, they're going to need him. And he actually made a really nice play where he came in on a blitz and knocked down a pass, got his hands up. I thought Corey Graham made some nice plays in space, did some good coverage. You know, when the Colts were coming down on that final drive, him against the linebackers helping out Nigel Bradham, I thought Corey Graham had a good big game. And yeah, they're going to need him if Rodney McLeod is not able to go this week against Tennessee. A stock up for me, two of mine, my only two, were the corners. And number one was Sidney Jones. And I talked about it a little bit yesterday, but Sidney Jones is already, I mean, Patrick Robinson, who is basically what I'm thinking right now,
right?
Because Sidney Jones has been that good in the slot right now. He's probably been the best slot corner in the NFL. You have not heard his name a whole lot, and that's a great thing for a cornerback. I know sometimes you hear them with the big plays, the interceptions, forced fumbles, and that kind of stuff, but not hearing a cornerback's name is actually a really good thing. And Sidney Jones has just been doing his thing for three straight weeks, and he saved two touchdowns yesterday. You know, the first play where he got caught missing that jab against Ebron on the press on the line of scrimmage, he comes back and closes in on Ebron, knocks the ball out, physicality against a bigger tight end. Then the next play, they throw a quick screen to the receiver on the outside. He's in the slot getting blocked one-on-one. He plows through his block and brings that guy down with Jalen Mills' help. Sidney Jones had a really big game once again. I don't expect them to move into him on the outside this year because of how well he's played in the slot. And it just goes to show you, the guy's never played slot in his career before this. At Washington, he was always an outside guy. He comes in after a torn Achilles, first season in the NFL, and just instantly perfects the position and is one of the elite guys already at the slot cornerback position in the NFL in 2018. It's incredible how good this guy is, and I'm so glad the hype is real.
I think he's just a great overall corner.
He's just a baller. That's just what he is.
Yeah, he plays the position really well, and he plays it really sound. And good players make good plays regardless of where they are on the field, you know? And you can see that. A guy who's never played in the slot. Just think about that, how hard it is to jump in and play a position in
one of the most... Because it's almost like a mini linebacker. It's a different position.
Yeah, it is. You're matched up against bigger guys in the slot. I mean, he's not facing subpar competition. He's facing good names, and he's had two, now three, excellent games, I would say. I don't even think they're just average. He's been playing excellent. He's definitely the best linebacker out there. And like you said, I don't think he's moving outside quite yet, but it's definitely in his future. And he's going to be CB1. And Joe and Howie knew that when they took the chance on him, drafting him in the second round.
Can't believe they got him in the second round. But yeah, that's one my first stock up. Who's your other guy?
Zach Ertz, I mentioned him yesterday. I just think him and Carson, that connection, that's exactly what you want to see. And I think that was his best game so far, and he's gotten better every game. That Atlanta game, he was quite the conundrum. I wasn't really sure who was wearing his jersey that game. He was up and down, missing catches, just missing blocks. He was all over the board. But this game, I think he blocked well. He made catches in tight areas. He was there for Carson when he needed him, and that's exactly what you want for your quarterback coming back, is to have a guy he can rely on. And Ertz, he's that guy, and that connection is something that you love to see moving forward.
Yeah, it was great to see that connection come back between Wentz and Ertz, two really close guys on and off the field. It was awesome to see them connect yesterday. Ertz finishes with 73 yards receiving. My other stock up was Jalen Mills, the public enemy number one for Eagles Twitter. Last week, Jalen Mills graded out as the fourth best cornerback in the NFL in week three, according to PFF, only allowed 3 catches on 6 targets for 8 yards. So,
but
I mean,
he did have a big penalty.
Yeah,
I'd like
right.
to
he had,
put that
he had
in
some
there.
Big ones. So I was going to put in perspective, the pass interferences were not great. But Mills did have a good game. Schwartz let him press the line more, play more aggressive and closer to the man, which I think sometimes will help Mills, and because he's a great tackler in open space as well. So he made some big plays in that avenue as well. Jalen Mills, he is better than people give him credit for. Is he a CB1 like Sidney Jones? No. Is he going to cash in like Ronald Darby will? Probably not. I'm sure he'll get a pretty decent sized deal considering he's a consistent starter in the NFL. And he's had up games like this. I mean, this is what you're going to get with Jalen Mills. It's going to be a rocky roller coaster type career with Mills because there are physical limitations when he's on faster receivers, but Jalen Mills is a starting NFL player on a defense, regardless of whether he's on the outside, he's in the nickel, or he's at safety. There's a role for Jalen Mills on this defense for the future, and once again, he silenced the critics this week, and I'll give it to him, because T.Y. Hilton was on his side a whole lot. I thought he stepped up this week, and I'm sure a lot of Mills haters right now are unfollowing PFF after that tweet.
Yeah, I think it's a testament to just who the player that Jalen Mills is. And, you know, time and time again, he's just been hated on by Eagles Twitter. It's not the easiest fan base to excel in, but he just came up and said, okay, I'm Jalen Mills. I'm going to come up and make plays and shut everybody up. And that's exactly what he did. I think he played in the perfect position where he needed to play. He played up on the ball, but not 15 yards back. He played in that around 6 to 8 yard range, which allowed him to click and close a lot easier than at 15 yards. He was able, there was one play in particular I'm going to have to go back and watch again, but he was just, he had his eyes on the cornerback. He had his hips opened up to the quarterback. I mean, he had his eyes on the wide receiver, hips open up to the quarterback, and he recognized that the ball was coming that way, and I've never seen him click and close so fast, and I was just like, this is exactly what Jalen Mills needs to do. He needs to play in that sort of off coverage range, but enough to get his hands on the corner, play a little bit physical, and overpower the guy. That's who he is. He's not going to win with finesse. He's not going to win with his speed. He's going to overpower you. He's going to tackle you when you get into open space, and he's going to be physical all game, and he's going to let you know you're there. And this was the game that Jalen Mills had to play, and he played it very well.
And you have to keep him, like you said, I mean, you got to keep him close to the guy, though, because he's not the fastest player closing in. Once a receiver gets running, that's not a recipe for success for Mills. I know off the ball, it'll kind of prevent him sometimes from really biting and getting burned deep, but actually really having him closer to the receiver has boded well for Jalen Mills. So Jalen Mills stock up for me. Two stock downs from you, Gino. Who's your first?
Number one, I'm going with Kamu. I mean, he's still the special teams ace, but man, they're just moving away from three linebackers. I know that was a big discussion in the offseason, but he played 9 snaps on defense, and
which is why
everybody
people
was
really
high.
Overreacted to the three. I mean, three linebackers was talked about way too much in the offseason.
Yeah, I think the bigger test was who was going to be the third and fourth safety, because that's what they're playing a lot of. Like, as I foreshadowed in my stock up, Corey Graham's getting 80% of the snaps while Camus getting 15. So they're moving away from that, and they're moving to those three safety sets, which they like to play a lot. I know Jim Schwartz loves playing that. It offers you a lot more versatility, but I would have liked to see Camus cement that. I thought he made an excellent play in week one against the Falcons, getting off those two blocks to make that fourth down stop. But yeah, this game, they just completely took him out of their game plan. I'm sure it had to do with the players that lined up on any side of the ball, but not getting on the field is not what you want to see for a guy who is thought of highly coming into this season.
Yeah, the Colts weren't really a big threat to run, and even if they were, I mean, the Eagles match up just fine with their front four, and having Malcolm Jenkins is a great run stopper as a safety coming down in the box, playing Corey Graham at safety. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a continued trend unless there is a team that really just likes to ground and pound. I think you're going to see mostly three corners, three safeties. You're not going to see a lot of Kamu and Nate Jerry, so definitely stock down for Kamu. For me, one of them is Ronald Darby, and I talked about it yesterday. Some people said he played decent. You know, it was a perfect pass on the touchdown. But regardless, I think if he turns around and gets his body turned and he sees that football, he has a better chance of making a play on that ball. And there's a couple other times where there should have been touchdowns on Darby, but Luck and his receiver just didn't connect. I thought Ronald Darby did not have a great game. I don't know if it's because of how they're using him, but the way he's playing so off still, and whereas against Atlanta, he was able to close in and really, it seemed like his route recognition was really on point against Julio Jones, and that's why he was able to break up some balls. But for him now, it really just seems like he gets lost in his backpedal, whereas he has to make up so much ground every time now. I don't know if it's the way they're telling him to play, but it almost just seems like he's really scared to get beat deep, and I don't know if that was just what I noticed, but I didn't see that aggression from Darby the past couple weeks. It just seems like there's a hesitation to him, and I just haven't seen that week one cornerback that we saw against Atlanta.
I think there were times that he wasn't even backpedaling. He was just turned around completely.
It just seemed like he was just caught gazing, like just staring off at
the quarterback. Yeah, he was just looking over his shoulder, just waiting to not get beat, really. Right. He wasn't as aggressive as you would like him to see Darby play. But, yeah, I don't know what it is. We talked about it yesterday. I'm not going to get more into it, but
yeah.
He definitely needs to pick it up in the coming weeks, that is for sure.
Agreed. What's another stock down for you?
Shelton Gibson. I think this goes into the same thing with guys that were thought of highly in the preseason coming in and not
rightfully
really
having. So, he had a big preseason.
He did. He had a huge preseason. He had one offensive snap. To think that they are so depleted at that position and you can only get him onto the field for a single snap is absolutely ludicrous. Yeah, no. When Kamar Aiken's playing 45 snaps, Josh Perkins playing 31 snaps, it just bewilders me, really. I know Indy is the more keep the guys in front of them type offense, so you had to work more laterally with your tight ends and everything more than you could work vertically down the field. But still, he has that straight line speed. Why can't we engineer some plays to get him in space and just see what he can do, like Aguilar, you know? I mean, I'm really lost with what his position is going forward, and who knows if he's a healthy scratch coming up in these next couple weeks, you know?
Right. which is disappointing. I was very high on Gibson, but I'm still big on his long-term development with this team. I did like the step he took in the preseason. Another stock down for me, Jordan Matthews. And look, Matthews, it was his first game back with the team. He hasn't played football in a very long time. I mean, he was injured a lot last year with the Bills. He got cut by the Patriots this summer. He's been nursing that hamstring injury, it was, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so, correct. I mean, he's healthy now, but, man, he just – I forgot how basic of a wide receiver he is. The numbers, I'm surprised he put up the numbers he did here. It just – he doesn't – and look, stock up, stock down, it's not just about how you played. Like, that drop that he had in warmups, it didn't help the fans that were all over the signing this week. And, you know, he played on the outside a lot, actually. So the people that were concerned with Aguilar not playing in the slot, Aguilar played more slot than Jordan Matthews. They didn't even really play Matthews a whole lot. But when they did, Matthews was actually lining up on the outside more so than Aguilar was. So and he wasn't making plays on the outside. He had one nice 14-yard catch to set up a first down. But outside of that, we didn't see a whole lot from Jordan Matthews. And he's not a speed guy. If the Eagles want that type of player, why not just keep Ertz and Goddard and Perkins on the field like they did yesterday? That's why, to me, I still want them to bring in Jeremy Maclin to this team, because it's a speed factor that if you're not going to play Shelton Gibson, even when Alshon Jeffrey comes back, that doesn't fix the speed part of this that you really don't have outside of Nelson Aguilar.
Don't think you're wrong at all. I was kind of shocked that they lined him up outside so much, and we just got over talking about how many chances the Eagles gave him to be outside, and he really has not done anything. It was nice to see him get that catch, but yeah, I was expecting more out of him, but he was only in the offense for a couple of days, but hopefully he can return to his old form once Alshon comes back.
Yeah, even close to it, I hope. Because, I mean, I like the guy. This is the thing. I think Elliot Shore Parks,
oh, I love him,
is more so the reason people don't like him, because of how much he loves Jordan Matthews. Because he's not a wide receiver one. He's not even really a wide receiver two. He's a good three when he gets going. So I am rooting for his success. It's just the type of player he is right now, that's not really what the Eagles need. They have plenty of size.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. And the thing that really killed him in Buffalo last year is that they ran basically three Jordan Matthews on the field at all times before Anquan Boldin. Yeah, exactly. Before Anquan Boldin retired, they had him, who's not a burner and
dear
is good
Lord,
in space.
They had four of them at that point.
Yeah, Zay Jones, the same thing, and Jordan Matthews. They were all the same player, and I think you throw them right back into this team, and it's a lot of the same outside of Nelson Aguilar, you know? So it will be good to get Alshon back, take a lot of pressure off of the inside, and hopefully he could start working over the middle more, because that's where I remember a lot of the big plays that he made did come over the middle, and hopefully he improves. His hands have improved. He did catch the two balls that came his way, but
absolutely,
it'll be interesting to see how they use him going forward.
All right, that's going to conclude our stock up, stock down segment of the week. The Eagles, big win against the Colts, 20-16. A lot of guys that helped out. Sidney Jones, Jalen Mills, Zach Ertz, big performances. Not so much for some other guys. We're going to get into a tribute to Tommy McDonald to wrap up the show when we come back from this break. But first, I want to talk to you guys about Vivid Seats. It's Vivid Seats, an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. And with Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, if you're a big theater guy, and more. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience. With the podcast code LOCKEDON, listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. So if you're headed down to Lincoln Financial, maybe you Eagles fans from around the country and around the globe, you're coming down spending a lot of money on tickets for the Eagles. They're a good team right now, so you're going to pay a pretty penny. You can, with Vivid Seats, locked on it with the code word, get $20 off of your order as a first-time customer of Vivid Seats. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Enter the promo code locked on again to receive $20 off your order, and all Vivid Seats are confirmed by 100% money back guarantee. So we thank Vivid Seats for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, guys, as we wrap up the show, just wanted to get into a nice little tribute here for Tommy McDonald, an Eagles wide receiver legend, passed away today. NFL Hall of Famer. He was a big part of why the Eagles beat Vince Lombardi and the Green Bay Packers in that 1960 championship game. It was Vince Lombardi's only playoff loss ever. So McDonald was a big part of that. He passes away at the age of 84. Pro Football Hall of Famer, NFL champion. Before the Super Bowl last year, he was the last person, he was part of the last team to win a championship in Philadelphia football. So, you know, rest in peace to Tommy McDonald, a legend, super outgoing. I remember just the flips and all. He was super energetic always, and even at his Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee ceremony, it was really cool to see that on video. So a legend, a really fast, quick receiver that didn't wear gloves back in the day, Gino. They didn't exist, so it was all about hand skills, and he was one of the first really good ones to do it in football.
Yeah, RIP to a legend, and I always use that trump card. I know it wasn't for a Super Bowl, but hey, that's a trivia question. Who was
that's
the only man
now,
ever,
right?
ever to beat Vince Lombardi? And that was Mr. Tommy McDonald, and you have to give him praise for how good he was. And Vince Lombardi spoke highly of him, and to get a compliment of that is huge. He said, if I had 11 Tommy McDonalds, I'd win a championship every year. And I just think that speaks volumes of the testament that not only the man, but the hardworking player that he was. And I'm grateful that he gave us that 1960 champion, and he was part of that team.
Right. And yeah.
Loved him in that Kelly Green, and it's huge. So
true.
RIP to one of the living, not no longer living legends of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Absolutely. And hey, that's all you could win back then, right? Was an NFL championship. So they
Correct.
Won the best of what they could do, and that was the Super Bowl of the time. So rest in peace, Tommy McDonald, Eagles and pro football legend. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to Gino Camilleri for joining me once again on this Monday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Go ahead and check out all our other shows, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find pods, we're up. And also, LockedOnEagles.com, where we also have our written stuff. Right when the coaches film comes up, me and Gino, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of that and get some good content up there for you this week as we get ready for the Tennessee Titans. That's going to do it for myself and Gino. We'll see you tomorrow. Let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.